Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Hey Watchers, it's Dan, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. It's a little surreal that we're already at 54 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us. We are back with our first feedback episode for Season 2 for The Courier, a historical spy fiction released in 2020 and available to stream via Amazon Prime Video. We embellished on the previous week's discussion of famous historical fiction and spy flicks, accurately diagnosed movie aesthetic fetishes, embrace our inner cumberbitches, and more on tangential topics. Oh, and major spoilers on this one, folks, so this is your warning. Wish to apologize for any audio cutoffs and garbles for which we did our best to smooth over for your listening experience. If this podcast is the best or worst thing you've ever heard, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page, you'll probably get a possibly informative or witty response to one of us if that's the thing you want. Finally, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, watchers, no more still lagging behind in our gulags. It's time to sell this feedback. Howdy, watchers, it's Dan, and we are back to get Jason and Ian's feedback on The Courier, the movie from 2020 that is in the historical slash spy fiction genre featuring one Benedict Cumberbatch. So, what'd you think?
So I actually took some really great life advice from this movie. If you're ever going to have an affair, the story you go with was, I was just spying for the British government.
Perfect.
That is a pretty great cover.
You got to get yourself arrested. Like, if it goes south, though, get yourself arrested. Then she'll definitely buy it, you know? Yeah.
Totally. I love it.
No, I thought this was a very solid movie. I really enjoyed it. I loved all the atmosphere of the Soviet era. As you guys both know, you know, my wife grew up in the Soviet Union, and so I've always had an interest in the differences between life in America and life in the Soviet Union. And, you know, I loved being immersed in that sort of drab environment they had over there and this whole environment of just paranoia that existed. I mean, obviously, you know, there was spycraft going on, which is will make you paranoid. But, you know, there was this culture of paranoia that existed in the Soviet Union at the time that was fostered and encouraged. You know, sort of getting a little taste of that, I thought was fascinating in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid. I enjoyed it for what it was. It wasn't totally enamored with it. I think it's maybe just the genre thing, right? Because this was clearly very well done from a cinematography standpoint. There were a bunch of things that I really enjoyed. I'm a pretty basic Cumberbatch, so if Benedict Cumberbatch is in it, I'm in it. I'm like, I'm up for it. So I'm never going to get mad at being able to see Benedict Cumberbatch. And I don't even like, I've never watched an episode of, no, I did watch, I tried to watch an episode of that Ms. Maisel show, and I hated it.
Really?
Like, one of the only people on the planet who didn't like that show. But it was found it incredibly annoying right from the jump and just could never get back into it. But Rachel Brosnahan did a good job here. And overall, yeah, a solid movie. Performances were great. I definitely, plot was engaging. I could easily kind of fall away, I think, potentially falling into old tropes. But there was something about the way they structured this to keep it fresh enough and interesting enough where it didn't turn into just your average old spy movie where, you know, you get distracted or fall asleep. I had a phone available. I didn't spend my whole time on it, which is saying something for a genre that I'm not that interested. Yeah. So overall, I thought decent movie. I can't say I'm running out the door to watch it or, you know, grabbing people on the street and shaking them and saying, why haven't you seen The Courier? But I mean, this was good. I mean, for me, there were a couple weird things that kind of just hit home a little bit. So it was just based on weird random experiences that have some things to do with the movie, but not, and I just related to, because the idea of a salesperson being interrogated and stuck in solitary confinement was amazing to me. I love that so much. I think, well, so many, I support sales folks. I'm not talking about the ones I work with right now, I've worked with a bunch of sales guys and sales ladies, women, etc., non-binary salespeople as well. But ultimately, salespeople are salespeople. They're incredibly annoying and will or basically just think lawyers are in the way in our way to do nothing but harm. And God, I tell them all the time, I'm not allergic to money, guys. I just want to get this done the right way. And I've worked with British salespeople, so this was a delight. Which I do have to say, most of the British sales guys I've worked with have been decent. But there is one who I would love to see in solitary confinement and tortured by Russians.
This is like the opposite of the Black Lagoon feedback, where Nine wanted to get taken away, whereas he wants others taken away this time.
That's correct. That second half where they like that, where he's, you know, he's getting interrogated and tortured and thrown in jail. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. The fact that he's still selling the whole time.
Right.
Like, it's, man, wild.
I don't know.
It's why he got recruited. It's what he can do. You know?
That's fair.
He sells.
I'm just happy to hear that you feel that this movie didn't, you know, still lag 17 too much, if you will, you know?
Wow. Like we're 5 minutes into recording and you finally got a dad joke in. That's impressive.
Going back to what Jason was saying about, you know, all jokes about the affair or whatnot. But so what did you think about the family related approach vis-a-vis the characters?
So, you know, we definitely got more of Benedict Cumberbatch's character. I should know his
Greville.
Name. It was
Greville.
Greville. Yeah. Greville Wyle.
I think Wynn.
Wynn. Greville Wynn. I looked him up. He's Welsh.
Oh, that makes sense.
He came from some town that, like, I like, as soon as I saw the name, I was like, that's got to be Welsh. And sure enough,
yeah,
he's actually Welsh. I had a similar reaction as you did, Nyan. I thought it was good as a movie. I thought it was a little by the numbers. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like some of the characterizations were a bit underdeveloped. And I think you can see that with the family. It's probably the most developed relationship was between him and his wife.
Yep.
Benedict Cumberbatch and his wife, you know, that was a pretty developed relationship. But, you know, we didn't really get a ton with his son other than he was yelling at him for forgetting the raincoats, which is more to like illustrate how stressed he was.
Right.
And like, that's it. That's like all we see with his son is he yells at him for not bringing the raincoat. And, you know, with the Russian character,
Oleg, yep,
you know, he loves his family and wants to be with them. And that's about it, you know.
Towards the end, when things started getting more frantic and they knew that the walls were closing in on them, I don't know. Personally, I've never been in that position. I mean, my parents were in that position, you know, back in 1973, but to a degree, but not to that extent, where basically, you know, you have proverbial secret police or other people kind of on you, or Stasi, or however you call them. And so it's very interesting to see how that's depicted. And I wonder if it's how accurate that actually was as far as how it all trailed out is what I always keep on wondering to myself.
Yeah, it felt like they were, at least they presented well enough that it all felt like compelling and realistic, right? It didn't feel like there were things that couldn't have happened ultimately.
Right.
And I didn't even think about that comparison to what was going on with your parents in Chile. Like, that totally makes sense. Didn't make that connection at all. But yeah, I guess I appreciated, at least for this film, that it did feel grounded and it did feel realistic. It never felt cartoony in any compared to the stuff that I was citing, you know, during the pitch.
Right. So I was citing them
that movie. Those are like Austin Powers and James Bond, and like,
don't you remember there were three Johnny English movies? Remember this conversation?
That's right, yes. Well, that's my context for spy movies most of the time, right? It's not my genre.
Yeah. Again, you know, you just want someone asking you how you been. So,
oh God.
So, I'm glad to hear that, you know, you also enjoyed some of the cinematography in this as well. I thought there were some really unique kinds of shots. I liked there was that one shot where they're walking underneath that kind of overpass and whatnot. I really loved the framing of that shot, those shots a lot, because like it had them walking to and fro and it felt very kind of cloak and daggerish in that regard. So I did appreciate some of that as well.
There was a great slow zoom when they were Rachel Brosnahan, English guy, and then Cumberbatch are talking in like a garage. And I loved the slow zoom and the way it continued along the conversation. It was very visually appealing. Definitely on board for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I like the art design a lot. I thought that was really
good.
The whole look of the movie I thought was fantastic. I thought the cinematography was fine. I didn't think it was, it was like good. It was like a solid,
solid good. Yeah.
You know, like they did a nice job. I'm not sure I was like blown away by the cinematography at the same time. You know, this isn't a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, right.
You know, or something where you're just looking at everything going, wow, look at that shot there. But no, they did a nice job. You know, I actually liked the tunnels too that they were doing, because that's like a big thing in the Soviet Union. There was like big underpasses and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They have a ton of those.
Wow.
So that's like a total thing. You'll get to an intersection and everyone goes underground. They do that in London too, which is, I would guess that's probably where they filmed it. They have lots of like old, you know, 1950s underpasses where, you know, you go into this like weird subway thing.
That makes
and
sense.
Walk under. And they're kind of creepy and gross, which is why we don't really do them in America, but... That's what they did over there, and you were just assumed to be safe as you walk down this like creepy tunnel where anyone could, you know, be around the corner, any strange KGB agent ready to kidnap you or arrest you,
kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Or poison your cigarette.
Right. Yes. Wow. Yeah, even in modern day, you know, things are done in weird ways like that. Some people that might be against certain enemy states out there, so it happens.
True.
Any areas it is.
I mean, when my mother got detained in Russia, I don't think that, well, no one tried to kill her, which was nice.
That's good.
When she went on this like senior trip with like a bunch of senior citizens to like through Eastern Europe, and the last stop was in Russia, and she had gotten her visa from the consulate in New York, but apparently they had screwed up her birthday by transposing digits, and she just didn't notice. And so she was coming back and then got detained for like 4 hours. Because clearly the retired nurse is clearly a spy. Like,
clearly.
It was wild. She told me this story. I was like, Mom, just check your passport next time or every time. I mean, it's weird because maybe we're a little lax in my family because I have what's called an OCI, an Overseas Citizen of India visa. It's a lifetime visa to go to India. And when I filled out the form, I had a typo, but it was ignored, which it really shouldn't have been, because the visa printed with the typo, and the typo was my birth year. And it said, instead of 1979, it said 1079. So the Indian government was okay with me issuing an official government document that says I'm over 900 years old.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm just saying, if you're going to commit fraud, do it in India, like, because they do not care.
I see people on Facebook all the time that they just roll back their birthday like 1903 for no reason, and they're like saying, "Yeah, this person is turning, you know, 121 today." You know, or something, you know. So it's hilarious like that. So.
Wow.
I thought it was like super solid. I was again surprised, you know. And how much I enjoyed it. Costume design, I think, was also very apropos for the time period, too. I thought it was also very good. But again, you know, it's amazing how a kind of an A-level movie star releases something in the dead of the pandemic, and like these people just don't know about it, or they pass right by it. Kind of wild.
I'm kind of making the connection that you might have a 60s spy-ish movie fetish between Pennyworth and this. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Like, you're right. We might be getting into some serious fetish territory with you. Like,
yeah, maybe dive deep. You're not wrong, man. I think you're not wrong. I think if you think of, there's a lot of other, you know, series that could kind of tie into that too, I'm sure, over time. Although I have not seen more than say 5 episodes of Remington Steel, so I can't talk about that.
Remington Steel. Oh, God, classic.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to go back and find out if something like, you know, a little more modern than that, like Simon and Simon is streaming or something like that. So it'd be pretty wild.
Or Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Heart to Heart. That'd be, yeah. Or some of the OG Avengers, not the.
Oh yeah. Falcon and the Snowman, that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry. I'm just silent because I'm literally not familiar with any of these things. What's Heart to Heart?
It was a series back in the day with, I want to say, Robert Wagner.
Okay,
I could be wrong. Yeah. It was basically like this older dude who had a reasonably younger wife, but they would solve crimes together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was weird. It wasn't part of like the whole mystery wheel thing that happened on ABC in the early 80s, late 70s.
I was going to say that just based on your description, I was going to guess. So this was like late 70s, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The Heart to Heart may have been more 80s, if I remember correctly. But yeah, it was, early it was 80s, that, yeah, that time frame. Yeah, yeah.
Same kind of pseudo TV era.
God. Sorry, I was raised by television, essentially. So it's first to remember all these things.
Yeah.
My parents didn't watch TV. And so like if I did watch TV, it would always be like kids shows.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
So like I actually like would miss all those 80 shows. Other than like Dukes of Hazzard, I watched Dukes of Hazzard, and then like someone pointed out like everything about Dukes of Hazzard. Like they're like, yeah, you know, they got like a Confederate flag. I'm like, yeah, they. Oh yeah, they did. You know, like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. No, I actually would miss all those like 80s dramas and stuff. I was watching Scooby Doo.
Oh, that yeah.
Because my parents, like, you know, like other kids would like go sit down and like watch with their parents, and my parents like didn't watch TV very much as a kid, so
gotcha.
I never got to sit down and watch any of the good stuff, like Murder, She Wrote.
Wait, I wouldn't say it's good stuff. And I also question, like, when you say good stuff and then followed up with Murder, She Wrote, like, I don't. I mean, maybe you didn't miss a lot. I'm just saying.
Wait, is it like, Murder, She Wrote doesn't count as the good stuff?
I'm just saying, if you feel like your childhood, you miss the things you missed out in your childhood are Murder, She Wrote. Like, I think you did okay.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. We'd go outside. I went camping and canoeing and wouldn't watch Heart to Heart. So, you know, I guess I came out okay.
Yeah, no, you're much better off.
I think you're fine, man. Yeah, I'm going to go on the limb and say you're fine. Yeah. I know, totally kind of unrelated. Yesterday in 1986 was the premiere of The Real Ghostbusters. So
make
you feel really old. So
I remember that. That was weird. That distinction between the fake Ghostbusters and the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not a huge Ghostbusters fan, but that was weird.
So yeah, that's kind of totally random tangent we just went on there. But yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's very wild to think about how spy / crime / all this stuff kind of ties together. There's kind of there's definitely an element there, Pennyworth and this movie aside for me, for fetish wise, that definitely there's something kind of this suspense level that people kind of gravitate to, I guess, in that regard. So
yeah,
can't all be Jason Bourne.
I kind of like these kind of movies, you know, like this Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Yeah. Totally blanking it, the one with Tom Hanks where he's going to, I think he's going to Germany into Berlin, and he's doing some spy negotiations there too, and like sneaking through the Berlin Wall, directed by Steven Spielberg, which I should totally know the name of this. And again, for some reason, Bridge of Spies.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, all those movies are like, you know, set in the 60s and 70s. You know, they're just totally fascinating because it's, you know, I think there's something about that era. I mean, in hindsight, you know, if you were living this at the time, this was terrible. It's a shame that our world was divided like this, and we hope it doesn't go back to this. But what makes good fodder for movies is, you know, you didn't have the cell phones back then. You didn't have the GPS. You didn't have all these like modern technologies that totally changed the game, so to speak. I know there's still spying going on out there, but I feel like it's not the same. You know, there's
no.
There's much less of the physical watching people, meeting in a dark alley, taking pictures. Like in this movie, he was literally taking pictures with a tiny little camera the library and smuggling out those pictures. You know, nowadays you just go, you know, take your phone out and you can go like stream that right over right there. Except for they wouldn't have that like that.
Right.
You know, I feel like they wouldn't allow you to just wander around in a giant library like that anymore. You know, and they would have like security cameras watching that the whole time.
And in extreme cases now, you've got nano drones. So you have to watch out for those.
Yep. There you go.
So they could be on you. They could be on you. Like it could just be a fly. It looks like a fly, but it's actually a drone.
Wild.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
This movie also made me think about that other movie with Charlize Theron, Atomic Blonde. A little bit about that movie too.
I always wanted to watch it, but I never saw it.
Good movie. How is that? Like, other than, like, there's Eastern Europe and such.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's the Eastern Europe connection for me. It made me think about that. Because I feel like I watched that on a whim, I think, about, like, 9 months before I watched The Courier, actually, I think.
Mm.
So I think that's probably why I tie it together. I'm thinking the Eastern Europe threat, like you're saying.
If this stuff and the related technology, like the old 60s stuff, is of interest, if you guys, Jason, you may have been there, but Dana, if you ever get a chance, DC, the Spy Museum is so cool.
I mean, to go, there's one here in Manhattan, too.
Oh, there is. Oh, cool.
They did a whole they did a Batman feature when the Batman came out, of course.
Nice.
And so they did a whole bunch of little features. So I think every time Mission Impossible comes out, they do something with that. They do tie-ins with that. So they're pretty smart about that kind of thing.
I'd love to go see that. I've been to every museum in DC that predates 1997.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
For listeners at home, I'm from DC originally. So when you live in DC, every year you would go to the Air and Space Museum on a school trip, right, just with my family. When you live in New York, you might go to Central Park, you might go to the High Line, you might go to the MoMA or the Met. But when you live in DC, you go down to downtown DC and you go to museums in your free time.
I agree.
As a kid.
Plenty of places in New York that you should go to too, beyond, you know, the Frick, if you don't have kids in tow, the Whitney, Morgan Library is a great fun time. I really love that place. Well, architecturally on the outside as well. But yeah. Oh, and speaking of Eastern Europe, there's one of the series that I really enjoyed has a lot of alums from a lot of different places, basically, which is called Counterpart.
Mm.
Well, I don't know.
Do you see that one?
I haven't seen it.
No.
I can't remember where it's streaming now. I think so I have to check if it's either Showtime or Stars, possibly. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head, but yeah, so that was another kind of Eastern European connection. Maybe I'll say that one to keep a fetish going.
Have either of you guys seen The Americans?
No, I kept hearing it's amazing.
I wouldn't go so far to say amazing, but it's very good. And if you like this kind of thing, which it sounds like you're not a huge fan of, Nyan, but Dan, you are. It goes on for six seasons of essentially this.
Right.
But crazier than this, because this was actual real spying, which is mostly just taking pictures in libraries and smuggling them out in books. Whereas in The Americans, they do all sorts of crazy things of, murdering people and, hunting. There's always some crazy mission they're on, and they basically never sleep while pretending to be Americans the whole time.
Yeah, that's what threw me. When could they possibly sleep?
it makes no sense. You look at this and you're like, this can't be real. This isn't how spying actually works. But, it's a TV show. It's fun.
And their dad's not Red Guardian, so,
Right. Yeah, I guess even though I'm not deeply into the genre, one show I did kind of latch onto and get all the way through was Homeland. I really got into it. I think maybe it was the elements of the mental illness track on it, and also just the first couple seasons being really uniquely compelling in my view. That there was a hook in there where I was like, this is going somewhere I didn't necessarily expect.
I think the first season of Homeland is one of the best series of television ever. I definitely feel over the years, it sort of became more, it sort of became more routine. It's a good series of books where you're like, oh, that was fun. But really, that first season is so perfect.
Yeah.
I agree. But, with The Courier, what was neat about it, it's not like that, right? It's like, what is real spying? It was taking some documents, shoving it in a briefcase, and going home. Essentially, and then handing it off to somebody as you got out of a train station. And that was it, which is kind of neat. At times, I feel like the movie didn't make it feel as tense as it could be, or not as tense. It would just be like, yep, he got a package, and yep, he moved it along. Next. And I would have maybe liked a little more suspense with some of that. Because, that has to have been suspenseful. We got a little bit of it with his first interaction, where he's kind of not really sure what's happening. He just knows that something's going to happen at some point, which it does. And I thought that was one of the stronger parts of the movie. But then, there was a stretch where it was just, it was like, yes. And then I, carried back packages back
more routine
as a courier.
Yeah.
Which was good.
Yes. I think we all kind of got that good movie kind of feel out of it, for the genre or not for the genre or whatnot. I think we all took something from it, which is cool. And I think that everyone who watched it in the Everyday Geeks Discord, so shout out to Callisto.
Shout out.
We had a really awesome time watching this, and hence we're here talking about it right now. So I'm going to thank you to her and the crew over there in Everyday Geeks.
Oh, and speaking of your spy fetish, Dan, probably the coolest spy scene in this movie was that awesome silent room.
Yeah. Yes. That was cool.
I wanted to see more of this room. Did you notice that thing was just literally floating? It's a giant room with a box in the middle hung up by cables so it wouldn't touch anything, so no one could eavesdrop on it.
Yeah, that was wild. You were saying, pre-technology, what was done across the board to make things, work? It's amazing.
So appreciate you recommending this one. It was a good time. Appreciate it. That's what we thought. that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.